And the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
The story you are about to hear may require accessory equipment in addition to your radio set, especially if you're a parent. We suggest that you provide yourself with a glass of water to slake the dryness in your mouth and melt the lump in your throat, and also a handkerchief or some other suitably absorbent material to cope with your tears. It is a story of unpremeditated murder, the unwitting and unplanned killing of a little boy by his father. It is a story in which fate overtakes love and tragedy lurks in the Blue Empyrean. It is a story you will not soon forget. Listen, listen then, as Miss Ruth Hussey starred in Firing Run, which begins in exactly 1 minute.
Not many of us grew up in an orphanage. In fact, very few of us have ever set foot in an orphanage. Still, none of us would deny that they are a good thing. The same holds true for children's clinics. But say you lived in a town where there was no medical clinic for children. Then, one election day, a proposition calling for one appears on the ballot. What would you mark in the little square opposite the proposition? Put an X opposite no, saying to yourself, "These kids are no concern of mine." Or would you turn it over in your mind and then place an X opposite yes, knowing that the underprivileged children should be helped? Of course you would. You know deep in your heart that at least the health of these children should be safeguarded, not only because they are children, but for two other reasons. First, you dislike suffering, and second, because they are the future. You would do your best to see to it that they receive the necessary medicine and the necessary fundamental foods to enable them to grow up as healthy and as strong as you are. Throughout the world, that is what UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, is doing. It is a special agency of the United Nations, which is man's best hope for the future, for peace, and for justice.
And now, Firing Run, starring Miss Ruth Hussey. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Some of them look like killers, the aces of World War II and Korea. Others, like Mark, are gentle and won't talk of combat. Mark would never speak of war, but I know that what happened to him in the blue New Mexico sky that morning left a scar deeper than any he'd had in action. Mark had been an ace in Korea, and he's won more aerial gunnery meets than any other regular captain in the Air Force. He's so good that for years he's been the number one test pilot on guns and rockets at Desert Proving Grounds. A pleasant life for all four of us, once I'd learned to get used to sand in the rugs and scorpions in the backyard. A settled life. Almost like a civilian. Until that horrible morning. Mark had a rocket test flight, so the day started early with the four of us at breakfast.
Hap, would you pass the cream, please?
Oh, here it is.
Hap, hold the handle toward your father. I've told you.
I forgot. Dad, can I watch the drone take off? Me too.
What, big shot?
Watch the Flying Fortress take off.
I don't want you kids cluttering up that flight line today. This is the last firing run of the series.
And there's also the small matter of school.
Sergeant Crenshaw said I should help him start the engines again.
Are you sure he did?
Yes, Dad, honest.
All right.
Daddy, are you going to fly the big plane?
Nobody flies the big plane. It flies itself, stupid.
Hap, I warned you about talking to your brother like that.
Yes, Mother. Look, Petey. Lieutenant Cameron, you know him. He flies the big plane. Only he flies it from the ground by radio. Then Dad shoots it down with rockets from his jet. See? Like this.
Finish your breakfast.
I could fly the big plane.
I'll bet.
I can too, Fly. I flew my scooter yesterday right over the PX.
You're a liar.
Hap, I'll not warn you again.
Well, he is alive.
He's just going through a stage. Well, now what? Oh, hi, Kathy.
Hello, Mrs. Stacy.
out and play?
Sure. Go play with your new conquest, the colonel's daughter. Mm-hmm. What a politician.
Oh, I am not.
Your school bus is due in 20 minutes, so don't get lost. You clear out, too, then. And don't bang the door. Oh, honestly.
Never a dull moment.
Is this a big day, darling?
It sure is. Every brass hat in the Pentagon's waiting for the results.
Goodness, don't miss.
You sound like Don Cameron. He offered to make the drone fly straight and level, so I couldn't miss.
Why don't you let him?
Oh, this is a test, Sue. Enemy planes don't fly straight and level. They twist and turn and evade. We don't prove the rocket if I shoot down a sitting duck just to look good.
That's my boy.
Well, I got a charge.
Will you be home for lunch?
Yes.
Petey, your father's leaving. Where are they?
We'll skip it. Probably heading for the flight line to drive the sergeant nuts. Don't worry.
Don't worry, he said. And I didn't. As I headed back for the dishes, my mind was on the day's marketing, not on Hap or Petey. If I'd only known where they were.
Hap, my father told me to stay off the field.
It's okay, Kathy. Sergeant Crenshaw's my buddy. That's his role on the runway. Hap, he already started the engine. He said I could help. Well, come on. Let's go see him in the cockpit anyway.
Oh, golly, Hap, my daddy shoot me.
Come on. You ever been in a flying fortress?
No,
well,
but...
come on, then.
Oh, I want to come, too.
You go home. You're a fibber. We don't want fibbers around.
I am not.
All right, Petey. I didn't mean it, but listen, you go home anyway. You might get hurt. Come on, Kathy.
Do you think we ought to?
Come on, hang on to my hand.
It's so windy, it's blowing my breath.
Somebody someday may recommend that the Department of Agriculture be called the Department of General Scientific Progress because, of all things, someone from this department has helped improve our rubber tires, our shoe leather, even our mattress stuffing. However, with all this serving of all the people, the department is especially set up to help the farmers. Now, back in the days when it was just getting organized and explaining to Congress why it needed more money, the department acted only as a sort of clearinghouse for information farmers picked up and passed on about better ways to grow corn, raise pigs, and so on. Then farmers started asking questions about getting rid of blights and parasites and other farming problems, and the department had to dig up the right answers. As an example of their success in improving farm operations, egg production in the past 50 years has been increased over 300%. As a result of the expert advice on feeding and raising poultry developed by workers in the Department of Agriculture. Among their jobs today, department chemists invent bug killers, fertilizers, and discover new ways to use products farmers have been growing since the beginning of time. Can you imagine making mucilage from sweet potatoes, paper from corn stalks, paintbrushes from milk, and wood as strong as steel? Hey, wonder if the Department of Agriculture will ever develop a tree that grows money, huh?
And now, we continue with Act Two of Firing Run, starring Miss Ruth Hussey. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
you just finished breakfast.
Mom.
Oh, all right. Take one for Kathy and one for your brother. And tell them it's time for the school bus.
They flew an airplane.
Hmm?
They flew an airplane.
I can't understand a word you say with your mouth full.
I said, Captain Kathy flew an airplane.
Oh, Petey, don't fib like that.
He did.
Now, Petey, listen to me. Mommy knows you aren't really a fibber, but other people don't. So just try to say only what happens, what really and truly happened. All right?
Right.
Now, go and tell Hap it's time for the bus.
He flew away in the airplane with Kathy.
Petey, stop that fibbing.
Mommy, really and truly, he got into his tummy and then he flew away.
What kind of an airplane?
The big one.
A drone? Oh, no. They couldn't have. Petey, say, help me. If you're lying, come on.
Air Force 647 from ground control. Air Force 647 from ground control. How do you read me, 647?
Ground control from Air Force 647. I read you badly. I'm very confident.
Our transmitter's okay, Lieutenant. Must be his receiver.
Yeah, okay, Sergeant. Mark, you're coming in loud and clear. The trouble's at your end. Air Force 647 from ground control. We read you four square. I say again, we read
you. I'm going to worry about it now. When the girl reaches 12,000, I'll make my first fire. Air Force 647, over now.
What's that dame doing here? Joe, tell her to get that cotton picking car off the flight line.
Oh, wait a minute. It's the Captain Stacy's wife. See what she wants, Sergeant. Air Force 647, this is ground control. I say again, Mark.
I'm afraid you can't stay out here, Mrs. Stacy. We're running a firing test.
Well, I know. I know, Sergeant. I'm not sure, of course, but I think... Well, it's possible that my boy is in the drone.
What? Hap?
I think so. And Colonel Master's daughter.
Oh, now, Mrs. Stacy, that couldn't be. It just couldn't.
I think they are.
No, ma'am. I buttoned up that drone myself. I started the engines and lined her up on the runway, and there's nobody in there.
Are you sure?
Absolutely certain. Now, you just drive on home, and I'll bet you'll find that young fellow robbing your icebox. Oh, hi there, Feeney.
Oh, Sergeant.
I didn't see you in the back seat. Know where your brother is, Feeney?
He said he saw them get in the plane.
Oh, so that's it. Well, my little boy did the same thing when he was your age. But, Feeney, we don't like storytellers in the Air Force.
They did too, Gideon. He got in the bag and you got out the front.
Oh?
And you drove off.
Drove off in what?
That jeep.
What jeep? Which one?
The jeep with the red flag on it.
He's right, Mrs. Stacy. He isn't telling a story.
Strong and active. You give up? Well, the answer is a healthy constitution. Yes, sir, a sound, healthy constitution can cure anything that's wrong. And the American Constitution is one of the soundest. You take voting, for example. Nearly 65% of the population in the United States is eligible to vote. And most of them take advantage of the opportunity. However, voting in the United States is actually a privilege and not a right. Since the Constitution gives no one the right to vote. But it has removed certain unhealthy restrictions under which United States citizens otherwise qualified to vote were once denied the privilege. The 15th and 19th Amendments to the Constitution assure citizens that they cannot be prevented from voting because of their race, color, previous condition of servitude, or sex. And nowhere does the Constitution prevent the people from voting for the candidate of their choice. As you can see, the primary concern of the Constitution is the health and well-being of the people of the United States. That's how your American Constitution works.
And now, we continue with Act Three of Firing Run, starring Miss Ruth Hussey. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
around it was horrible. With John Cameron trying hopelessly to contact Mark, and Mark's unheeding voice crackling from the radio.
Jet 647 from ground control. Mark, break off. Do not, repeat, do not make your run. Mark, break off. Abort your run.
I could see the vapor trails now high over the desert, the white track of the ancient bomber crawling across the sky. Mark tracing the contrail swiftly and precisely above and behind it, overtaking it. It was horrible on the ground, but when I thought of the terrified children in the cockpit, it was unbearable.
I can't contact him at all.
What are we going to do, Don?
I don't know. Pray that he misses.
That guy doesn't miss. Lieutenant, can't you dive it for the deck and land?
Dive that old wreck and pull the wings off it.
Wait. Wait, there he is again.
Suddenly, it was not Mark at all. That cold, relentless voice chanting a song of death. It couldn't be Mark. It was the voice of a stranger, a killer, stalking my little boy. Stop him! Stop him! Stop him!
Sue, snap out of it. Hang it to yourself.
Make it good, he says.
Now, look, Sue, I'll do my best. Just before he reaches his point of relief, I'll try a high wing over. It'll shake up the kids, but if the wings stay on.
There he goes, Lieutenant. There he goes.
Wait. Wait. You've got to wait till the last second.
For the lumbering bomber. Something in its purposeful track told us all that within seconds the drone would be a screaming, flaming pyre for the two children. And there was nothing, nothing that any of us could do to save them. I thought of Mark, cool and deadly at the work he did so well. Only seconds from shattering his whole life. I felt Don tense at his control box, ready for a last, hopeless swerve of the clumsy ship. And then it came to me. The only way, the only chance. It might cost my son his life, but I knew I must try it, for I knew Mark. If I could find the courage. Don, don't.
What do you mean? Let go.
No, no. Don't try to evade him. Make it a sitting duck.
What do you mean?
He's nuts, Lieutenant. He'll plaster it.
No. No, he won't let you make him look good. Give him an easy target, Don. He'll let it go.
Suppose he doesn't.
I know him. Do it.
Oh, no,
straight and level with that guy, he'll splatter it all over the sky.
Left turn. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, here we go.
Roger, yes, sir. He's right on the road.
See him? He's right on the wing.
Hey, somebody in the cockpit.
Can you do it, Don? Can you?
I've done it before, but never like this. Okay, Sergeant, watch my gauges. Easing off our power.
Manifold pressure 18 inches, sir.
Dropping her gear.
Gear down, sir.
I can do without that. Flaps down, Sergeant.
Flaps down, sir.
It was minutes, but it seemed hours before the big plane lumbered into the pattern, wheels reaching awkwardly for the runway. I closed my eyes and prayed. And then... very shaky children were helped out. All Petey said was, see, he did too fly the airplane. And to this day, he thinks his brother can fly. Mark Knees buckled when he climbed from his jet. He knelt on the flight line and held Hap and Kathy closely, very closely for a long moment. And when he looked into my eyes, I saw gratitude and faith. Tests guns and rockets. But sometimes in the evening after a flight, I catch a distant look in his eye and know that he's closing on that ancient flying fortress over New Mexico. And then I go to him and touch his lips and talk of other things.
Starred in William N. Robeson's production of Firing Run, written by Michael Frost. Supporting Miss Fuzzy in Firing Run were Dawn Bender, Eddie Firestone, Dick Beal, Sam Pierce, and Ken Christie. Listen. Listen again next week, when we return with another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.